Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey everybody, welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, excited to have you with us today for a really fun interview with Mary Catherine Morales on the topic of the five power practices of Christian superwomen. And I know some of you are like, I don't know if there's such a thing as a superwoman, but I can tell you that because we have the supernatural power of God, there is such a thing. And we want to just talk to you about the five power practices that can really radically change your experience in life as you go through life loving God and living for Him. So our guest today is Mary Catherine Morales. She is the founder of the Beautiful Movement. She's a speaker, author, and visionary leader who gracefully leads women into total transformation, mind, body, and spirit. Her passion is creating communities of women who live courageously every day. And you can learn more about her at her website, womenofprinciple.com. Welcome to you, Mary Catherine.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
This is great. And we're facing each other right now, and I'm wearing my winter bright primary colors, and you're wearing your beautiful spring pastels. God has created us each so differently, so uniquely in every way, from skin to, I mean, in every way we're unique. And your first superpower that you wanted to talk to us about was being beautifully transparent who you are.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we in Palm Beach, we say that pink is Christmas red, right? When you live in tropical climate. Absolutely. So first, I just want to say, Marnie, thank you so much for, you know, inviting me into your community and having me here today. It's really a dream come true. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Well, I love you and I love what God is doing through your life. So welcome, welcome.
Yes. So beautifully transparent, right, is one of the power principles that I talk about, not only in my new book, but in life. Right. When I think about women and what we really aspire to be, is we want to be beautifully transparent, right? We want to be authentic. We want to be able to go out into our careers and into our communities every day and really be who God has called us to be. But sometimes our character defects might get in the way a little bit. Some of our limiting beliefs show up, and that really prevents us from being beautifully transparent. And so that is one of the five practices that I talk about in my book. Mm-hmm.
So what is the title of your book again?
It's called Becoming Woman of Principle. And it's about transforming your mind, living courageously, and rising to the call that is upon your life.
And is that released yet?
It is. It was released. Yes. We did a soft release over the summer.
Nice. Okay.
Yep. Available on Amazon. It's available with
Perfect.
Target and Walmart and a bunch of different places.
Great. Oh, well, congratulations to you on that. It's always a baby being birthed. It's a long process. And so congratulations. Yeah, good. So I want to just pause here, beautifully transparent, because what's coming to my mind, I told my daughter yesterday that the compliment that I will have in my heart from this year, the most precious compliment to me, happened the other day. So I have the privilege right now of my 95-year-old mother-in-law is living with us at the moment. Mm-hmm. And she's just so precious and adorable. And she has all of her faculties. She's just a great thinker. She's just this amazing, positive, powerful woman of God. Yeah. And she's just a delight to be around. We were going to go sit in the whirlpool the other night. And so I came out of the bedroom in my little black tank and my little black swim shorts things. And I was coming across the living room and she looked at me and she said to me, she said, "You look like Miss America."
Oh.
And you know what I thought? I remembered a time when I was so intimidated by how I looked. Yeah. And I was so scared to get in front of people on a stage or in front of a camera. And I was just whining to God about it. And he just said, "But you know, Marnie, that I'm even changing how you appear to people."
Yes. That is the power of transformation.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like this amazing superpower that we have, and we don't get to, it's not like we control it. It controls us. But it has the power to transform. I mean, no one in their right mind would compare me to a Miss America, except for someone who sees me through the eyes of God.
Yes.
And someone who sees me through the eyes of God sees the potential that is here, that I'm beautiful in his eyes, right?
And I think, you know, my favorite scripture, and I love that story, is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I always like to refer to it, is, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
Think about that, right? So like our outward appearances, you know, as we get older, they change, they look different. But I really believe that as women of faith who love God and have decided we believe that God is who he says he is,
yeah,
the transformation begins in my thought process. I am telling you, it begins to, the transformation is inside out.
Yeah.
The way that we carry ourselves, the way that we speak, the way that we love on people, the way we walk around in a swimsuit, all changes because we recognize that it's a whole package. Like we are children, women of God, like from the inside out, all strengths, weaknesses, you know, character flaws.
Right, exactly.
And we are beautiful because every wrinkle, every dimple, every experience. Like when I turned 50, I wasn't sad or depressed. I was like, I felt like I made it. I am making it. All of the experiences that I had in my life that I once was really ashamed of, I now see as an opportunity to share with other women who might be going through something really similar.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of those anymore. Because
experiences. Right.
No.
Yeah, we've seen the mercy of God. So number one is to be beautifully transparent. And before we leave this one, I just want to encourage you guys to beautifully transparent means to live fully who you are. And that doesn't mean to railroad or run over other people with who you are.
No.
It just means to just recognize this is how God made me. It is okay that this is who I am.
You know, and one of the practices that I think supports becoming beautifully transparent is the practice of honesty, right?
Integrity.
Integrity. When we think about what empowers us to be more transparent, I think honesty is one of those powerful practices.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, this next one starts with a big word, impeccable in your dealings. So this one goes kind of back to that concept of integrity again. We were talking in the last point about being honest about who we are. And this one now is being honest in our relationships with other people.
And it's really about, when I talk about becoming beautifully impeccable, I tie it back to a practice called being your word, right? As women of faith, no matter where we go, once we declare we're women of faith, in particular, we're Christian women.
Yeah.
Now, if you have the same experience, but people begin to see, what is she doing? How does she speak? How does she carry herself? And so, again, to be impeccable in our dealings, I think, starts with being our word. And, you know, I'm a mom. Our daughter is now 26 years old. Her name is Mia. I remember my husband one time saying, you know, every time you tell Mia that you're going to pick her up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, she would wait for me at the window, like perched like a bird, just waiting for me to show up. And so every time as women of faith that we keep our word, we are impeccable. Because when we give someone our word, it creates an expectation in somebody.
Yeah.
And we know in the word of God, it says that what we say is generative. It creates things. And so every time I have the courage to be impeccable in my dealings, in my relationships, it creates intimacy and connection. And every time I don't keep my word and I'm not impeccable, it creates a gap in my relationship with my husband, my daughter, my teammates at work, the lady friends in my circle and in my tribe. And so, so important.
So when you say impeccable, I have the thought that someone may listen to this and say, so kind of perfectionistic then, is that what your goal is? Perfectionism?
That is such a good question. Because that, I struggled with that, right? Mm-hmm. In my own journey of becoming all that, who I really think God has called me to be, there was a time in my life where my life looked very different. I had made a lot of mistakes. I had gone down a lot of roads that you really shouldn't go down. And so becoming an impeccable woman, I kind of took it all the way to the other side. And I wanted so badly to make up for the mistakes I had made in the past. I was in the pursuit of perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And there's like no intimacy, no joy, no relationship in perfectionism, right? I certainly didn't have it with myself. And a friend of mine actually said, Mary Catherine, name one thing that you are perfect at, because right. You're in pursuit of this perfection.
I love that.
And it doesn't, you know.
You can't do it.
And he said, tell me one thing you've ever done perfectly. And I said, breathe. And he goes, exactly. You know, so no, it's not about perfectionism. It's really mm-hmm. about being pure, right? And again, at the very basic level, it's about when I tell you, Marnie, I'm going to be at your house for dinner at 5:00, that I'm there at 5:00. Or I don't call you 15 minutes before and say, hey, I can't make it, you know, because it creates a gap in our relationships.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that was really freeing to me, because I think all of us deal with perfectionism in at least some areas of our life, that maybe not all the way across the board, but somewhere we just really want to get it right, you know, just perform. And I know as a parent, I kept hearing the word consistency, that consistency as a parent was the most important thing, that if you would be consistent with your word, impeccable with your dealings, you know, it's back to your word again, that your children would grow up trusting you. And that was really important to me, but I couldn't seem to get it perfect. I was really still missing the mark on it. You know, I was not able to be 100% consistent, and I was driving myself crazy. And then we went to this seminar and they described consistency in a different way than I had thought about it before. And it was really freeing to me. They talked about how consistency was, if you were to ask someone, what do you think Marnie would do in this situation? And they would answer what you usually do, then you are being consistent. If they could actually come to a conclusion that matches what you think you're doing, what you say you're going to, you know, because I mean, I have friends who are consistently on time 30 minutes late every single time. They're so consistent. It's like they set their clock to 30 minutes late every single time, and I can count on that. Well, that's consistent. I mean, it's not what they think they're saying, but I can count on it. It's 30 minutes late every single time.
So does that make them impeccable, or does that make them consistent?
It makes them consistent. It makes them consistent. But right. What they were talking about with consistency is that even when you try, even when you're going for that, just the best you can do, then sometimes you're going to miss it. But people will know that pretty much I can count on that. And your children know that too. And that was really freeing, gave me the permission. And I think this is something, especially dealing with leaders and pastors' wives and people in the spotlight, you have to give yourself permission to fail also. You
yes.
cannot do it perfectly every time, and people shouldn't expect you to.
No, and I think you bring up a really good point. There's a powerful distinction between excellence and perfectionism,
yeah.
right? Like as a woman of faith, we strive for excellence and being impeccable in our relationships, knowing that we're perfectly imperfect, that we are human, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to get caught in traffic, we're going to, you know, double book ourselves. I think in my own life, you know, when I was becoming an impeccable woman, one of my mentors and actually my therapist said to me, I want you to call your husband every day after work and ask one simple question. What can I do for you, my love? To rebuild and restore my word with him. And I did that for 260 days straight.
Wow.
Every day when I left my job, my career, I called my husband and asked that question. And it gave me an opportunity to be truly impeccable with my word. Mm-hmm. And to rebuild that bridge. And now it's rock solid. Mm-hmm. And I still miss the mark. Like you said, I still am 5 minutes late here and there. But he knows that I'm impeccable with my word. I can take responsibility for it and try again.
It is the Proverbs 31. He can trust you.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. If she's not here, there's a good reason.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not like she's not here because she didn't ever mean to be here, or because she means to slight me, or because she got up this morning hoping to ruin my day, or whatever it is. It's you're not here because there was a reason. And you're going to, as soon as you get there, you're going to tell them what it is. You know, and I think that that's how we should be. Going back to the time one too, it's real interesting. Like in other countries, they have different time. We say, you know, Kenya time or Peru time or whatever it is. As you say, they have different ways of keeping time than we do in America. But in America, it's important that when you say a time, that's the time you're there. And if you're going to be late, if you see that something is coming up, that you call ahead and you don't wait until you are late to call and let people know that you're going to be late. And I like too for leaders as well. If you, so I think about this like starting church on time. I think about it with that, you know, okay, if we start church let's say 10 minutes late, everybody just gets talking and we start church 10 minutes late. Well, for maybe the five people on the platform who are starting church, that's almost an hour. But if you include maybe 100 or 200 people out there, now you're a ridiculous amount of time that you have just frittered away because, you know, whatever. And there's cultures, of course, there's cultures that it's acceptable, but I think that it's important for us to actually put time in that this perspective, that is one place. If you ever want to just do something that will increase your impeccable dealings, focus on your time, put your time where your mouth is and go do it and come through. And the other thing is don't say, I don't have time, because you do have time. You have time. So all you're doing is you're making a decision that right now I'm not going to spend my time that way, but you do have time.
But we all have the same 24
Own
hours.
It. That's right. Own it. Okay. Victorious in your ventures.
Yes. Yes. So I talk about it as, you know, as women of faith, becoming victorious through the practice of running with champions, mm-hmm. right? And I can speak in my own journey and in the lives of the thousands of women I've spoken to, mentored, you know, over 15 years, is that most women don't feel victorious. Hmm. So many women feel separate from their tribe or not a part of. And so becoming victorious and running with champions at some point, as we really step into and believe and become all that God has called us to be, it's about recognizing that we are victorious, period. We are worthy, end of story. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about, I love how you have it up on the screen, victorious in our ventures. Think about it from this perspective. As women of faith, if we walk into a business meeting, if we walk into a conversation with that big client that we've been hoping to land for years, right? We've been courting them, we've been pursuing them, but we show up in the conversation with them knowing that we are victorious, whether we get the deal or we don't. We're there for the relationship. We're there to be of service. We're there because we believe that our product and who we are will serve them, their company, their culture, their, you know, their community. Whether we get the deal or not, we are already victorious in our ventures.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's so good.
It's just a totally different way to look at life.
Yeah.
And There's a I'm thinking of the word shortage, but it's not that. It's the mentality that says that there's only just so much. It's a limiting, a small, you know, if you are doing well, then I can't be doing well.
That's right.
But that is not body life. If I am healthy, there's that verse in the Bible that talks about that God would bless your spirit as your body is blessed, you know, and it's all part of one package. And we as a body of Christ are all part of one package. And so why would it be, if the toe is healthy, the finger wouldn't be healthy? It doesn't make any sense. And yet there is this sense of there's only so much to go around. I have to be jealous. I have to make sure to get my own and hide it and tuck it away.
And that's really the spirit of fear. One of my favorite promises from God is in Timothy, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And you bring up such a beautiful point that this practice is really all about knowing you are abundant and you are loved. Yeah. And I think sometimes we live in a culture where we're told that if we don't drive a certain kind of car, or we don't live in a certain kind of house, or we don't have certain kinds of jewelry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that we have something to prove. Versus, I choose to be a teacher because I want to educate children, and that's my purpose. Right. Or I want to be in banking because I want to make sure people are financially secured. In my own life, my career, in many cases of the word, I am a university fundraiser. And I raise money for a university in the area of brain health, technology, and first-gen students. My Women of Principle community, we raise women up to be all that God has called them to be. But we are, when I approach that conversation in victory, knowing that there's more than enough donors to go around for the students who need scholarships, and there's more love than we can even possibly imagine for every woman of faith, we just show up at the table differently. And that's the power.
It is. It is literally a superpower. It really is. If you were to, you know, watch all those crazy movies and they can stretch their arms around the world and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? The thing is that I think that we limit what God can do through us based on what we're experiencing. And I mean, I am so guilty of this too. I could be so perfectly fine that I get one piece of bad news. Now, maybe that bad news happened an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago. But when I hear about it, I become just undone. You know, is God still God? We do this mental thing that we do, but the reality that God never changes. Our experience goes like this, but he is rock solid, you know, and so we can just come to the table. I love that. Come into the venture victorious.
And just imagine again, what our companies would look like, what our families would look and feel like.
Yeah.
Women, right? Because the male may be the head of the household, but we turn the head left and right. Right? We have so much power. And I was just talking to my girlfriend Millie about this today, that as women, when we show up small, insignificant, not believing that our gifts and talents are actually a contribution to the world, not only does it affect how I feel about myself, but it impacts my marriage. The way I speak with our daughter, Mia, all of my goddaughters, my tribe, my circle of women. And then it shows up in my office at conversations with my boss or people on the team and so on and so on. So I really believe that this is an opportunity for us to stand really knowing that we really are victorious. We have everything we need. And I can tell you a quick story. I'm a very competitive person, and I've had to learn how to compete without being competitive.
Right.
How I can still have the drive to win and to make sure I meet and exceed my goals without obstructing or damaging the relationships in my life.
Yeah.
And that was not something I did very well in my 20s and my early 30s.
Right.
It was hard.
Doesn't come naturally.
Yeah. And so through prayer and meditation and really practicing running with other champions, women who are a little bit further down the path than I am, who kind of have that ability to stand confidently and share all of their gifts with me. You know, they don't keep that one tucked in their back pocket, you know, for next time, because they know that God, there's more there. There's this like unlimited opportunity for us. And I read a statistic that most people spend their whole lives giving 50% of their best to the world every day.
Wow.
They're saving it for something, you know, they don't deserve it. You know, I'll give that, you know, I'll show up and give 100% next time. But what about today?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. That's so cool. So victorious in your ventures. So the third one is fourth one, generous with everyone.
Yes. So this is really about servant leadership, right? And becoming generous through the practice of serving other people. And again, in my own journey of overcoming an addiction and the story of unworthiness and shame, and my addiction was winning 100%. I had gotten myself into a situation and I was having a really tough time. And my mentor at the time said, Mary Catherine, you want to get well, go practice serving other people. And I was like, okay, so that's something we could do, right? Is show up and practice serving other people. But my heart was still broken. My heart was still fractured. And so I showed up to serve meals. I showed up, you know, and picked up trash, you know, during beach days in Florida, or doing something at church, or volunteering for something in my office. But because my heart was still broken, and I didn't know that I was victorious already and loved, I showed up serving others expecting something in return.
Yeah.
And that doesn't produce generosity. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until a really good friend of mine said, Mary Catherine, you're just like Lady Gaga. You live for the applause. And I was like, what? She's like, you live for the applause. You want other people to like, well done, Mary Catherine. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for volunteering. And it kind of took me aback, but she said, Mary Catherine, God, we serve a God of love and service and humility. Yeah. And instead of seeing that as a stark reflection or something to be ashamed of, she said, God loves you so much that he's just revealing that to you so that you can step left and choose to really serve others just for the sake of serving them. Mm-hmm. And that really struck me. I like had a major breakdown in the moment and a huge breakthrough. And then I began to really serve others because I recognized that being generous is the gift.
Yeah.
And it changed my heart.
Yeah. I remember the quote from Chris Tomlin, who has written more worship songs than probably, I don't know, anybody I can think of for sure, but and won many awards and millions and millions and millions of downloads. But he said, performance is no way to live. And, you know, it's just so true that when you are living for God's glory,
yes,
and giving it your best, like you say, not 50%, but really giving everything you've got today to give, which is going to be different from day to day and even from moment to moment within the day. But when you're doing it that way, it's an entirely different experience than when you're just going for the applause or the like you said, the win even. It's kind of weird because we just talked about victorious, and before we came on, I was a little nervous about what direction you were going to take that. And I love where you took it, is that we come victorious.
Yeah.
We come into the conversation. We come into the room. We come into the new project, whatever it is. We come in victorious. And from a position of victory, we see what God is going to do.
Yes. And I think, again, and they all kind of overlap, right?
Yes.
We know that we are victorious. We can be generous with our gifts, our time, and our talents.
Yes.
And the miracle really happens. But this is where one of my favorite sayings is, what we practice, we become. Mm-hmm. So when we have the courage to go out and just practice servant leadership, like go delivering food to someone's door and don't even tell anyone other than your spouse, maybe, right? Like just practice doing generous acts.
Yeah.
What happened, God really transformed my life to where now I look for ways to bless people. Yeah. And that's God doing for me what I could never, ever, yeah. ever do for myself. But if we all struggle with generosity a little bit, I mean, let's face it, let's be real, you know, if there's one more piece of chocolate pie, I got to tell you, I want that last piece, you know? But I think as we practice being generous, it is the gift from God, and He is so faithful. And what I realized, and it was actually in my prayer and meditation time, Marnie, is when I heard the Spirit of God say, are you going to move forward and be generous and bless others with this book, or are you going to hold on to your gift? He said, because you've already received it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've been healed. You have the blessing. You've been blessed with a second chance. Are you going to keep it to yourself? Are you going to go out and serve others?
Yeah.
And so it transforms our heart.
Yeah. Yeah. It is such a blessing. And when you aren't doing it for the applause or for the win, it's so much more freeing. It's you have permission.
Yes.
You have permission. The story of the Golden Gate Bridge, when they were building that and men kept falling to their death. And so the work was going so slow because everybody was just hanging on for dear life and they couldn't get any work done out there in the middle of the water area because it was just too terrifying. And so they invested in this safety net that they could put beneath them. And when the safety net got put up, it was true that some men still fell, but they didn't fall to their deaths. They fell and then they had a long hike back up again, but they were able to complete the work because the safety net was there. And that's how I feel like. That's what God is to us.
He is
the safety net that allows me to give 100% instead of hanging on with 50% of my might to the, you know, to the pillar so that I have hope that maybe I won't die. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing more terrifying than standing in front of a group and
yeah.
leading worship or speaking or sharing a book that has real stories of your real life in it. These are intimidating things. And if we're doing them out of our own strength and for the praise of men, we're very exposed and we simply cannot give our all.
No, because the fear, society would tell us that we have to have it all together. That we have to always be beautiful and be composed when we leave the house, that we have to have all of the answers, that our house has to always be in order, that we always have to meet or exceed our goals. And it's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that kind of narrative in the national news and the national media and magazines and publications that expect perfection doesn't leave room for us to be generous, doesn't leave room for us to feel or stand in victory, doesn't leave room for us to be transparent and authentic.
Yeah.
And so when I could just like serve for the sake of serving,
yeah.
love for the sake of loving, mm-hmm. and not expect anything in return is when it's almost like you give yourself away and then you receive more than you could ever even possibly imagine.
It's that analogy of if the cup is full, there's no room for anything else to come in the cup. But if you actually pour out what's in the cup, then fresh new comes in to that space. That concept of flow through vessel, that's what we're meant to be, is God flowing His best through us, His best, His all, whatever, His everything through us to other people. And it's not us performing for Him. The last one is wise in the eyes of God and others.
Yes. So this was actually the hardest practice for me to put into words. And it's really becoming wise through the practice of putting God first. And in my own research and in my own life's experience, there are really two kinds of wisdom, right? There's human wisdom, which is reason and knowledge and experience. Medical doctors are great examples of human wisdom. Engineers, you know, physicians, they're very good examples of human wisdom. But supernatural wisdom comes from God. And that's where I think when we can complement human wisdom and godly wisdom, that's where the true power for us as women, you know, that want to use our power for good in the world. And in my own journey, there are four things that I talk about as far as wisdom in the eyes of God and others. Prayer, meditation, praise and worship, and reading the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about the Word of God has actually been the most challenging for me. I've been reading the Word of God for more than 20 years, and I would still say I'm a beginner because it's so rich. Yeah. And there's so much good wisdom there. Mm-hmm. But God is so faithful that in my own journey, every time I'm willing to spend 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes a day in the Word of God, His wisdom shines through, and then I can apply it to my human wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think as women of faith, my listening changes, my ability to hear what you're actually saying through your languaging and your words, when I can walk into the presence of someone else because I'm grounded in God's word and His wisdom, I believe that I can actually pick up the energy of somebody else, not in a foo-foo kind of way, but really be able to connect with them and know if they're feeling grief or concern, or celebrate their joys with them. Mm-hmm. And so becoming wise through the practice of putting God first is actually the most important practice. But, you know, I'm very clear in the book. When the Lord asked me, you know, to talk about this, I was like, really? I'm not a theologian. You know, there are people who know far more about the Word of God than I do. But I wanted to write it in such a way that whether a woman was just starting out on her journey, becoming all that she was meant to be, and maybe just bought her first Bible, you know, or someone who has been reading the Word of God forever, that this practice would make sense to them.
Mm-hmm. Just this morning, I was meditating on James chapter 1, where it talks about, you know, if anybody needs wisdom, just let him ask of God, and He will give it to him liberally. And I had done a study on this a few years ago, and I was reviewing it this morning about how if I ask God for wisdom and I don't seem to be getting it, it's because either there's a timing issue, I'll get it when I need it, or else it's because I really am still not sure if I really want God's wisdom or if I just really want it to be the way that I hope it will be. it's that, you know, wishy-washy kind of, we come and we want to maintain the control of everything. And yet we want to say that God's got control, but we want control. And there's this battle that goes on inside of us. And I think in wisdom, it's very clearly defined as it's just like a wave that crashes this way and then it crashes that way. And instead, what wisdom requires is faith. It requires faith to say, I'm going to just hold with what God says for me to do. And I always say, you know, if you really come to God with an open heart to what He would answer you, He will always answer you. He doesn't play games though. And He's not going to, if you're just trying to trap Him or put Him in a corner, make sure that He agrees with your plan or whatever, that's just not going to work. But if you will come truly with faith and humility to Him, and that's really all prayer is. Prayer is just the humility to say, you're there, I need you. That's prayer. Yeah.
I love prayer because, I always say too that, you know, we talk a lot about the difference between a Christian faith or a Jewish faith or a Muslim faith. You know, the God who created the sun, the moon, the stars, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, is the great interpreter. And I really believe that prayer, like you said, makes it really personal between the Creator and me. Yeah. And if I walk, like you said, if I approach the throne with humility and grace, and just ask, because the word says, ask and we shall receive, seek and we shall find. If I'm open to hearing, not MK's way,
right?
But, you know, what God actually wants for us, we can learn so much.
Well, and it is the privilege of being a child of God that we get to come right directly into the throne room and ask him, what should I do? Or how should I think? Or a prayer I pray a lot is, talk to me about this from your perspective. So I know how it looks to me. Now what I need is I need the truth, because sometimes I'm just messed up.
Sometimes I think we come into a conversation and we have a certain perspective on it, right?
Absolutely.
Seeing it through my experiences, my interpretations. And we were praying this week at church, you know, to think on things, Philippians, I think it's 4:8, right? Think on things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure. And so when my mind wants to take me to a place of judgment or a place of faulty thinking or a place of fear or self-doubt, I mean, one of my favorite women of faith is Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a neuroscientist. I read all of her books. Yeah. And when I first read that we actually have the power to turn all thoughts over to God, like every 6 to 10 seconds, I was like, how do you do that? But it's constantly through prayer and meditation. And even on the good days when I think I have the right answer, practicing asking the Holy Spirit, like, is this the best? I think I have the right answer. I think I'm going in the right direction. But is this what you want for me?
Mm-hmm. It's the pray without ceasing that it talks about in the Bible. And that used to make me crazy because it seemed so impossible. But it just means to be in a position where you're ready to go to prayer at any time. The best analogy God gave me was the dolphin, who is a water dweller, but an air breather. And we are earth dwellers, but prayer breathers. So does that mean that the dolphin is always above the surface breathing? No, it doesn't. The dolphin does go down and it gets work done under the water. Kind of like we live on earth and we get work done here, but we can go up anytime for air through prayer. And that is the beauty of walking with God. Well, this has been so much fun, Mary Catherine. We had tried to do this earlier and finally we got to do it today. So thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. And I just want to thank you again. Wish you happy holidays, Mary.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. And you guys want to be sure to check out her website at womenofprinciple.com. And she's also, of course, available to speak at your events. And whether it's online or a hybrid or an on-premise event, looking forward to lots of great stuff coming here in the new year. And you can check that out at womenspeakers.com. And that is under Florida. She's in Florida here with me. And so her website, again, is womenofprinciple.com. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day. God bless.
Bye, everyone.